This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
You ever find yourself in a sticky situation? You don't know what to do. Figure this one out. These guys will none or doubt. If you're up for shit advice from these two coy guys. If I were you, here's what I would do. Jacob and me are gonna help you see the zoo. If you've got no clue how to deal with life, then this show is for you.
Very cool. Nice and soothing.
That was from Victor Edso.
It sort of seemed almost like a TV theme song.
Yeah. Yeah, I like I think he used a xylophone throughout most of it.
Yeah.
And as a professional xylophonist myself, I kind of appreciate the little the timbers and the thrusters that he uses.
Well, you're not a professional.
He must have used a pretty... an oaky little node buster.
So that's the you're a professional?
Yeah.
What is the node buster?
The node buster is the little... What's... To you, it would be like a little wooden sphere on a stick. Like
all
a...
right, so to me, like, you can't even come up with the name of...
The node buster? Yeah, no, I didn't come up with it. John Q. Xylophon did.
You think xylophone invented the xylophone? It is funny that xylophone... that you learn to play like two instruments in school. It's the recorder and the xylophone.
Well, there's a saxophone.
But you don't learn that. Like you, that's like, you know,
but
that's
what
not
makes
a given.
What makes a saxophone a sax and a xylophone a xylo? Like phone is just noise, sound, whatever. But then there's saxophone, xylophone. What else is there? Any other phones?
Trombone.
The trombone, of course. Yeah, which is a trom-based phone. Well, that guy says, hello there. Greetings from cold, cold. And then the country he's from. Where do you think?
Ooh. Scandinavia. Is that a country?
It is Norway. Not. No. Not Norway, but close.
Finland.
Ooh, very close.
You Sweden. Got,
yeah. Nice. Cold, cold Sweden. He wrote us an original theme song. Hope we like. Big fan, Victor. Thank you, Victor, for listening to us.
Thanks, Vic.
It can't be that cold in Sweden. What's the current weather in Stockholm? What is it, like 40 degrees Fahrenheit? Big freaking whoop.
What is it?
It's 4.
D
sounds
degrees.
Cold. It's actually chilly sounding. But
I would probably put on an overcoat.
At
but
the
no
very
mittens.
Least. Not yet. Not yet. All right, this is If I Were You, the only advice podcast on the web, hosted by us. I'm Amir.
I'm Jake.
Starting 2018 off right.
Off rice.
Nice.
Thanks, man.
Off white. All right, let's get to these questions, because they're not going to answer themselves.
That's true.
I sent you one. I can't find it myself. Oh, here we go.
Okay.
I'm a guy with a crap voice. Interesting. All right.
Like not singing voice.
Yeah. So what should we call this guy? What about the most famous Swedish person you know?
Bjorn Borg?
Of course. Is he Swedish?
I don't know.
Bjorn Borg writes, Simply, let me, now I gotta look.
He's probably not.
Is Stefan Edberg from Sweden? Bjorn Borg is Swedish.
Oh, all right.
Nice.
Oh, isn't that other, Wawrinka? Is he Swedish?
No, he's Swiss.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Stefan Edberg is also Swedish. All right, let's not give away all the names. Yeah. Bjorn Borg writes, simply, I cannot stand my voice. I think it's irritating and not manly at all. I hate it even through a recording, and I know that the recording is what my voice actually sounds like. I feel like with my voice, I can't get anyone to respect me, or heck, blow me for that matter.
Or worse yet, blow me.
I seriously think my voice is lowering me from a decent 6 to a 4, and is ruining my chances of hooking up. Do you guys know someone with an annoying voice?
It could also be your self-esteem.
I think Jake's voice is fucking awesome. I'd love to sound like him. Is there a way that you can mask my voice or make it sound cooler? Is there surgery for this kind of shit? Should I just stop talking and learn sign language or become a mute? Please help. P.S. Love, Bjorn Borg. P.S. Please come to Australia again soon and don't skip Adelaide.
Radelaide.
So he's an Adelaidean Australian, actually. A weird voice.
It is. There's so much like Swedish shit happening in this podcast so far that I genuinely thought this guy was from Sweden.
Right.
Because the song dude is from Sweden. So he's okay.
He's from the Sweden of Australia.
I feel like the good thing, well, it's tough because your accent doesn't do anything for you in Australia.
No, yeah.
But if you came here.
I think that's my advice is to leave Australia because then you have a interesting voice.
Yeah. Your voice, like, no matter the octave, you'll have the accent if you're not in Australia anymore.
Yeah, and Australian's, like, a cool type of accent to have.
I feel like, tell me if I'm wrong, but the way Australian accents, like, make your voice intonate, like, it almost makes for, like, a higher pitch talking. Or maybe that's just, like, that I use a higher pitch voice when I do an Australian
accent.
Oh,
like, all Australians.
Put another shrimp on the Barbie.
Yeah, like, I'm talking like this here. Like an old shrimp hand, is ya? Oh, yeah. You call that a knife? This is a knife, you little fucker.
Yeah.
Look at me dancing on an alligator.
And that's what this guy sounds like.
Me, I'm 0 feet 11 inches short. And I got a crap old voice. I can't even get blown.
And I got a bad attitude, yeah?
Come to Adelaide.
I'll write a shock for ya.
I'm falling down a thimble.
How'd you like to see me fuck a kangaroo?
You ever seen one this big before?
I can fit in a pouch, yeah.
I'm a pygmy, aren't I? Down here. Oh, you stepped on me.
Yeah. I'm sure your voice is fine.
Yeah, a lot of people don't like the way their voice sounds when they record it. That was a thing, remember? Was that like just was that just like during your childhood, or is that just a late 90s phenomenon where everyone's like, whoa, my voice sounds weird when I listen to it back?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it was ever very common for people to hear their own voice.
And now or is it just because we make videos and podcasts, we have to listen to our own voice all the time?
We listen to it probably more than anybody, but... I mean, like, you know, showing up in Instagram stories or Snapchat.
Yeah,
like,
it's easier to record your voice.
Yeah.
But I remember back in the day when, like, you record your voice and play it back, like, on a tape or a cassette. You're like,
I don't sound like that.
Yeah.
And sometimes you do. I feel like I know what I sound like, and sometimes a recording did distort my voice a little bit.
Yeah, like it gives you a lisp.
Well, I think I also have a minor lisp.
Really?
Lisp.
Huh?
Well, I remember when we first started posting videos on College Humor, people said I had a gay voice. And that cut me to the core.
They thought I had a gay voice, which really hurt.
Don't eat me, mister! I'm on your salami sandwich!
What accent is that?
Australian. Obviously from Adelaide.
Don't put the Vegemite on me! I'm dancing on a toothbrush! Eating an olive the size of my head.
My car is a roller skate, man.
Look at me lifting up this match like it's a big old torch. I'm 1 inch short.
Is there a surgery for this kind of shit? You think there would be, because there's like facial reconstruction, there's plastic surgery.
There could be like a voice box surgery, but I don't know.
Voice changing surgery. Let's see if that's a thing.
I think he could get by just by changing his voice without the surgery. You could just fucking drop your voice. Just do a silly voice.
Oh, you think so?
Have you ever like done a silly voice with your friends or a significant other, and then before you know it, you're talking in that voice all the time?
No, but I know you
have. A voice like this one, yeah! Now I'm stuck in it, and I'm 1.5 centimeters tall. This puddle is an Olympic-sized pool to me.
This is the trailer for Downsizing, I assume. You saw the movie, right?
I loved it.
Did his voice change when they went, like when he was a small person talking to a tall?
No, he was still Damon.
He was still the Dame. Mm-hmm. That was his one note. He's like, I'll do this movie, but you're not making my voice sound bad.
Yeah, no, I have to have Matt Damon's voice.
Everyone else sounds weird, but Damon sounds good.
I think that you could just drop your voice an octave if you're worried about it being high-pitched. And I guess he didn't even say that, but that's just what I got.
What, like, so this would be my new voice and I would just talk like this?
Yeah, well, that's tougher because you have to... But yeah, you could talk like this.
And this would be me always.
And you don't have to change it this, like, that much. You could just, like, drop it. Just an octave.
Just, like, down
People
low.
People won't even notice.
Down over here. Remember the video where I speak in a new voice?
Yeah, new voice.
Yeah, and then you voice. And then you steal the voice from me.
That's right.
It's kind of like this.
It is. Yeah, it is like that.
Yeah, now this is my voice
this
now.
This is my voice.
I'm on a Yahoo Answer and someone says you can take testosterone medication that can help lower your voice.
Oh, interesting.
I guess I'll fucking do it.
Well, you know, do some research.
No.
I think there's other side effects to
no,
that.
No, there aren't.
Yeah,
you just get taller and more of a boss.
No, Jesus Christ, don't.
You get a little hairy and fine. Oh, wow. Larry Page, Google CEO, reveals surgery to fix his hoarse voice.
Oh, he had like a hoarse voice?
I guess so.
Like he would just be like, nay!
No, like so hoarse would be like the scratchiness of the voice. It's not like him sounding like a horse.
I was making a goof, dude.
So he'd be like, the way PageRank works is,
give me a carrot! A baby carrot's big enough for me! It's half the size of my
body. A boat!
And a moat.
All right, there's your options. Fake it, move, or take testosterone pills after consulting a doctor.
Cool.
Let's see what else he sent me. Ooh, this is from a lady, mm-hmm. A Swedish lady. Swedish.
Martina Navratilova.
No,
I
she's
just like
not
tennis
Swedish.
Stars.
Is she?
No, I doubt it.
Swedish.
She's Czech.
Female.
Check if she's Czech.
Nice. Check if she is. There's I'm looking at Swedish female tennis players, and there's one named Johanna Larsson.
Cool.
You'd be not surprised to know that she's attractive.
That's awesome.
All right, Johanna writes, I'm a 20-year-old female student at Michigan State University. Go Spartans! So yeah, I'm a student at a very expensive school, and your girl has plenty of debt under her belt.
Hey.
I'm totally self-sufficient for my parents, so I pay my own bills, rent, and whatever else. I recently made my preferred age range on Tinder a little wider, meaning I let men in their 40s look at my profile. I don't really find older dudes attractive, so I don't swipe right on, like, any of them. However, this guy went to my Instagram and messaged me at the source.
Oh.
He's 37, well-established, and pretty charming. He's originally from Michigan, but has been living in Europe for work. He saw me on Tinder because he was at home for the holidays. We talk pretty often, and he's even sent little gifts to my house. LOL, sorry, Mom. And he's been talking about possibly flying me to Europe so we could hang. Is this the sugar daddy I want/need? Is it a terrible idea to meet a strange older man in a foreign country? I've stalked all of his social media and he seems to be normal and safe, but could I just be blinded by my imagination? Thanks for your help. I love listening to your podcast while I'm working at my boring job.
Aw.
Love, Johanna.
Thank you.
So this girl swiped this guy left and then he messaged her on Instagram.
Yeah.
That's a bold move and it seems like it worked.
Yeah. In and of itself, that's a lot.
Especially because he's a 37-year-old.
Shows a lot of tech savviness for the 37-year-old.
37 is almost my age in a weird way. I'm like, 37, dude's old, but he's just...
Well, you're 35, and would you slide into a 22-year-old's DMs on Instagram?
I'd feel pretty creepy about it, but 20 also, because this girl's not even old enough to go to a bar.
She's 20?
Yeah, I thought you were minusing two for him.
Oh, no, I just didn't hear you correctly.
Yeah, so 20-year-old.
I think, yeah, I'll classify that as full creepy.
Because it's the divided by 2 plus 7. So his men should be 25 and a half.
Yeah.
And now he's all about flying her to Europe. Seems dangerous.
The question is, would you take a free trip to Europe if the exchange is potentially creepy as hell?
The crazy part is that this would be their first date. So she'd be like getting on a flight, getting off at customs, checking in bags, and then arriving to this guy's house. Yeah. And if he's bad, it's like, oh shit, I'm jet lagging here right. for a week.
Yeah, and you like took a red eye, so you're pretty, like the first thing you have to do is take a nap at this guy's house.
And then maybe I'll wake up and we'll get like a sandwich, but like my internal clock's really fucked up. Yeah. So you're eating like
and
lunch
you haven't
at 2 a.m.
A good bowel movement.
Yeah,
since
you're
left.
Constipated and tired. You're greasy and wet.
And then he expects to have sex with you because you spent $1,200 on a flight.
I flew you out on Lufthansa. Sure, it wasn't business class, but I sprung for economy comfort and an aisle
you
seat.
You had an aisle, didn't you? That means you only get a hand job, sir.
Do you think he expects sex? Do you think it's creepy enough to just avoid entirely?
I think it's I think the answer to that, both of those is yes. I don't think he's correct in expecting the sex, but I do believe that that's his expectation.
Sexpectation.
Yeah. I believe he has sexpectations, and I believe he came across your information in a
quasi-legal way.
Yeah. I'd advise not to do it, and I think you can get to Europe on your own somehow, in some other way.
Yeah,
but
maybe
if you like the guy, then by all means continue talking to him and maybe just go on a normal date next time he's home.
Yeah, maybe you wait. That's the move. So you say, I can't do the Europe thing because, you know, you might be a murderer.
At least not on the first date. And maybe you someday go to Europe and you can see him.
Yeah, he's probably in more of a rush than you are because he's 37.
He's knocking on death's door.
Yeah, he needs to make a mate right away. You're 20. You're a junior in college. You got no. There's no rush for you.
This guy's not necessarily like, if you're viewing this as like, oh, this is my like way to get money. He can be my sugar daddy. I feel like he might not like. He's more of a sex hound. Than a sugar daddy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
So
he's trying to fly you to Europe so he can get laid. He's not going to like continue. He's not going to like start paying for your tuition.
Yeah, if anything, you can be like, why don't you just send me the cash and I'll buy my own ticket because
yeah,
I'm an independent woman.
In that regard.
Yeah, and he'll be like, why does that make you an independent woman if I'm sending you the cash? And then you could be like, if you clearly don't want to see me, then this isn't meant to be. And he'll be like, okay, just wait. I'm Venmoing you $2,700.
And then Venmo request him for 3 G's.
Yeah. And then
he's got to be. You're worth it.
That extra money is going to go a long way because you have to take an Uber to the airport.
That's right.
Yeah. And you're flying through, like, there's no Michigan to Europe directs. I'm sorry.
No. We're rerouting through JFK.
Absolutely. And what? I'm just going to stay
there.
Or O'Hare,
actually, probably. Likely, right?
Yeah. Because you want to go to the largest, closest hub.
Yeah.
So that's your advice is to just simply say no, thank you.
Yeah, no European first date, especially if you didn't even match it true. Like it wasn't even a true match.
At one point you deemed this guy too unattractive.
Yeah.
So like how can you go from that to seeing him in Europe?
And he might be both.
All right. Next question. We need a guy's name again.
Oh, what was that other Swede?
Stefan Edberg.
Nice.
Another male Swedish tennis player.
We really should play tennis. We talk about tennis players a lot on this podcast.
It's time for us to just straight up rally.
We should have like just a quick little volley or something.
You played tennis in college, which is a very unknown fact about you.
That's correct.
That means you're at least pretty good.
Not anymore.
You think you're just bad right now?
I'm definitely bad right now.
Like, you think you can serve in volley?
I can still serve, because serving was always my best.
Do you know how fast you can serve?
No, I don't think I ever clocked it. Unless, like, I did, maybe when I was, like, 12 or something, I think I could surf 75 miles per hour or something. That might be like, I don't know if that's way off.
You're not sure about the age or the miles per hour.
I remember doing it when we were doing, I did like a tennis camp when I was like around 12 or 13.
Yeah. And did you hit the cones? Like you try to hit the corners?
Yeah. We used to like, we would do not cones. We would like make little ball pyramids and try to hit those.
And you were good?
Yeah. When I was 13, I was very good. And then I guess I probably peaked at 13, and I was a slow, steady decline. You know, like, probably getting better. Is that, like, a weird way to put it? Like, I continued to get better, but, like...
Relative to the best in your age, you were getting worse.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if I... 13 was, like, 0 to 13 was, like, holy shit, Jake could be a good tennis player. Yeah. And then, like, from then on, it was, like... He's really plateaued.
He hasn't improved while this guy's playing in major tournaments.
He's progressing faster than this.
Did you ever like play in local tournaments?
Yeah. When I was up until I was like 16, I guess, we had like intramural pool clubs. Like High Lane would play Ridgetop or High Lane would play the Long Club.
And that's about as rich as it sounds when you're talking about Connecticut tennis tournaments, Ridge Club, High Lane, stuff like that.
Yeah, but it is interesting because like even among those clubs, like the one I went to, High Lane was like a pretty middling country club. There was no golf course, but we would play like New Haven Country Club, which had a golf course, and then we'd play the Long Club, which had like... squash courts and like, you know,
got it.
The so, rich, they would, and then so Ridgetop was like even less expensive to join than High Lane.
So they'd be like, oh, how's that country club? No golf course, right? Not much of a country club, is it?
We would get bussed into like the really fancy ones. Be like, oh shit.
There's got a golf
going
course.
Straight to their snack bar.
Two-handed backhand?
I have one-handed backhand now, but I had a two-handed backhand back
at
then.
At the time.
I adopted the Nadal open stance forehand.
That's really nice.
Yeah, it was good.
What was your signature move? Inside out forehand, serve and volley. Did you
it
approach
was both
the net?
Of those, yeah, the inside out forehand.
Right,
that's where you run around the backhand.
Yeah, and then hit it.
And then and serve and volley. But now, as I've gotten worse, my forehand has deteriorated. Now I tend to run around my forehand.
Oh,
like the last time I played tennis, which was, I don't know, 5 years ago.
Uh-huh. You're running around your backhand down the line winners. Winners.
I wasn't a big winner.
Winners
here.
Guy.
I would chip. I was
favorite,
big lob.
Favorite surface.
They call me the big lob.
Favorite surface.
Oh, you gotta go fucking hard
Clay?
True.
Oh, hard true.
Yeah.
Ace rebound. Green on blue, blue on green. Green on green, blue on blue.
I was, yeah, we had the hard true.
You ever play on grass, hard. Hurwitz? Ever play on grass? Or you didn't make it out to Wimbledon very much,
did
you?
I never played on grass.
Not quite grass, right? You like sliding around, though, didn't you?
You little piece of shit. You and your High Lane imps.
You know I went to Ridgefield.
I'm a long club man.
Myself. All right, let's actually take a break and answer this question afterwards. I spent 4.5 minutes grilling you on tennis. For seemingly no reason.
That's my unsolicited advice this week. Pick up a racket. I think the Wilson 95 Pro Staff is the way to go.
Pro Kennex. And I'll string it myself, thank you.
I have head grip tape.
I have a shock absorber that looks like a little rubber W. It's actually pretty neat. Oh, and the design on the strings, it looks like Snoopy from afar.
How's
beat that? all right, we'll be back with more questions after this. Bye. Ahoy, hoy. We have returned.
Ho-ho.
Just huge, huge, overwhelmingly positive feedback for our new segment. Unsolicited advice.
Mom, I'm coming.
Gross.
Mom, I'm coming.
Pretty cool, huh?
That's awesome.
Our first unsolicited advice stinger submission.
I love it.
I forget who wrote it. Let me see. Hold on. Hold. Oh, here we go. Lars.
Thanks, Lars.
Who's probably Swedish himself.
Very much so.
First week I talked about cryptocurrency. That market has tanked. I really hope nobody took me up on that.
Unsolicited advice that I took and I'm fucking How much am I down right now?
I mean, you are bleeding out. You are absolutely in the red.
Good Lord, Tron's at 6 cents.
Well, I will say a lot of these are a long-term hold. I mean, a year ago, Litecoin was worth $4, and now it's worth close to $200. So don't worry about the day-to-day. Then you talked about your unsolicited advice was to read the Game of Thrones books.
Correct.
So now some back to me. If we're alternating.
Of course.
And I'm going to go oral hygiene.
And oral hijinks.
Everyone brushes. Some people floss. But only the best of the best, the goats in their field, use the water pick.
That is correct, sir.
Water pick was suggested to me from my dental hygienist a year ago. The basic gist of it is it's this toothbrush tube that holds water at the base of it. And instead of brushing, it shoots a very hard, thin stream of water in between your teeth.
It's a power wash for your gums.
Exactly, because the theory is that floss, you know, can get deep and move stuff around, but doesn't necessarily flush the water away.
No.
And brushing is great for the gums that you can see, but it doesn't get really deep down between the crevices. The water pick, which doesn't replace floss, mind you, this is in addition to.
Yes.
Not only gets deep down, but also flushes water, flushes gunk out. I gave you one 6 months ago or so.
Yes.
For your birthday. And positive reviews?
It changed my life.
How's that? You were a little hesitant because you didn't want to add something to your routine.
I really did not. I didn't want to disrupt the nighttime routine. But now I've actually, if you embrace it, if you learn to love it, like now I floss, I brush, then I water pick. And the water pick is easily the best part of the three.
Because it gets deep.
The water pick is almost the reward for doing the first two things.
It's the dessert.
Dude, it is so good. It feels amazing. I also really, I stress traveling light all the time.
Uh-huh.
And on every trip I've been on since you gave me the water pick, I pack a fat-ass water pick.
Wow.
I don't like to travel without it. I don't like to spend a night not using it.
Wow, good work. Do you go cold water or hot water?
Hot water.
Yeah, you get to choose. Cold water.
God, it feels so good.
Cold water hurts sometimes.
And I also made several trips to the dentist, and they are very, very pleased with my new gums.
That's right. You quickly become your dentist's favorite client because they'll be like, do you floss? And I'm like, yes. And like, do you water pick, though? And I say yes. And they're like, wow, good job.
I'm 32 for the first time in my life. The last trip I went to the dentist, they told me that my gums looked really good.
There you go.
Every single trip to the dentist is an admonishment.
It's like getting called into the principal's office after you did well. You're like, well, I'm pretty awesome, so let's high five and I can get on my way.
It's really true.
I should figure out exactly which water pick I have and maybe throw up a... If we could figure out this Amazon affiliate thing, that would be key. That would be clutch. I'll put it on our website either way. But it looks like a little stiff hose that you hold up to your mouth.
I would put mine on there too, which was more expensive, but mine is very pretty.
Ooh, all right. So two different options at ifiwereyoushow.com. I know it's not a cool, hip thing to get into, like cash or fantasy novels. but I think it's a simple thing that'll make you feel a lot better in the long run and make you look
like
like a boss. And it just feels cleaner. You go to bed with cleaner teeth.
Yeah, you do. And it's not cool to have shitty gums.
Were you like a kid who was like, had to lie to your parents about brushing their teeth?
Yeah, I did.
Like, did you brush? Or like, oh, yeah, whatever, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I was always a morning brusher as a kid, and at nighttime, I just liked to go to sleep. Leave me alone! If you're not going to let me watch TV, I'm going to bed.
I want
to
pass out. I don't want to like get ready for bed.
Yeah, I did not like getting... And now I love getting ready for bed.
Because it's like the beginning of your sweet night when you can enter your fucking Mordor or whatever it's called.
That's when I escape into Westeros, yes. And I like to do it with my teeth fresh, with my lotion on my face, my body covered in Vaseline.
From head to toe. Eye mask, ear mask, nose plug, completely sensory deprived. levitating in this lukewarm gel, so it's not even water.
That's right.
And I have a little snorkel on so I can breathe through the night. All right, that's it. Water pick, water flosser. What did, you recorded your first episodes of the Dungeons & Dragons podcast, right?
I did. I played my first few games of D&D.
D&D.
I am smitten. Absolutely, I'm taken.
Did you think you'd like it as much as you do?
I hoped that I would like it about half as much as I am. About half as much as I liked it.
Do you feel like you've discovered a new hobby?
Yes, I've unlocked something.
Deep within me.
As we were leaving, I was like, all I wanted to do was play more. I didn't care if we recorded it or not. I've also heard about people weekend trips to like a cabin
and just playing
D&D for like two straight days. And I was, even that was like, I mean, Jesus Christ,
not enough.
Yeah, now I see. Like, you could go a week
just playing straight, and it's really just fantasy improv storytelling, right? There's no game, is there? Are you winning and losing?
I mean, you are. In a sense, you can lose, like you can be killed by the stuff in the game, but yeah,
Murph
is the dungeon master. He knows the whole entire world. He doesn't know like what the story is necessarily, because he doesn't know what our characters are going to choose. It's basically like you can do anything you want.
You're just talking in general platitude right now. You're telling me that I can do whatever I want.
Yeah. You can do anything you want, man.
Yeah.
The world's your oyster. But that's what it is in D&D. Like, you can't say like, oh, my character runs up and grabs a squirrel. Because you don't know that there's a squirrel. Only Murph knows these things.
And he plans ahead of time?
Yeah. So he knows, like, for example, we like, on our campaign, we came across this like tiny little pond. And we don't know what's in it.
But he knows.
He knows. And then, like, so we were like, oh, we're going to, Emily suggested her character was going to stick her staff in to see how deep it was. And so when there's, like, something like that happens, this is turning into my unsolicited advice. You just listen to the podcast. You guys know how D&D works.
It's not like, out yet.
It's, oh, yeah. All right, fine. Just wait till it comes out. It's going to be great.
Do you have a launch date?
I think the end of January. Oh, wait, that is right now.
Yeah, soon.
In the next 2 weeks, or in the next 2 or 3 weeks.
All right, stay tuned for that.
Yeah.
Does it have a name?
It's called, actually, I don't know with 100% certainty what the name is, because
we're not going to leak it yet.
So let's not deal with that yet.
What would make you sadder, your character dying or Murph dying in real life? Because, like, you can always get a new dungeon master.
No, Murph is... I would be more sad if Murph died. And not because I like him a lot, but yeah, because he's a very, very good dungeon master. The amount of information that he has to have in his head is kind of insane.
Wow. Like,
when I really cool story. Our characters walked into a bar, and Murph, like, there were three fishermen and four barbarians and one guy sitting at the bar and one person behind the bar. And, like, he has a folder where all of those people have names and bios, and he does a voice for all of them.
Oh, wow.
And he, like, so we improvised scenes as, like, you know, Caldwell's character goes over and starts talking to the barbarians, and my character is talking to the dude at the bar. And he, like, is just swinging back and forth. And
Is there a competition, like an international Dungeons & Dragons thing? It's like, is there a Dungeon Master of the Year award? Like, how do people know who's good at it versus not?
I wonder.
It'll just go completely unnoticed, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think that, like, even in our small comedy community of, like, the subset of people there who, like, play D&D and who talk about it, because I think they go on, like, they have, like, several campaigns with, like, different groups of people.
Yeah.
So I think, like, we have friends who are like, oh, this person's a really good DM. Because it takes way more work. Like, I just walked in. I know my character. He's very simple.
It's kind of like hosting a podcast versus just being a guest on it.
Yeah, exactly.
So he's a good host.
Yeah, he is. He knows his shit.
I think you can do it.
Really? No,
I think you should stage a coup.
I wouldn't.
If you and Emily team up against
Murph. I could take over Bohemia.
That's what it's called.
That's what our world is called.
Bohemia. Bohemia?
Bohemia. Yeah, yeah.
And people speak English there?
No, not everybody, but everyone in our campaign speaks English. And I speak, I know the Dwarven language, and Emily and Murph's character both know Elvish.
Of course.
Fuck you, man.
I know Elvis too. Elvis Presley.
Yeah. A blue suede shoes. I'm a little elf.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Crying all the time. Oh, yeah.
Small Australian dude doing Elvis impression.
Holy shit.
Making fun of me.
Where do you get off? All right. Now we can finally answer the question we've all been waiting for, which is Stefan Edberg's dilemma. Because he's a 22-year-old from Canada who recently got engaged to my girlfriend of 5 years.
Oh.
We met in university, fell hard for each other, and the rest is history.
Congrats.
Exciting, right? Well, there's one problem. We can't decide on how to proceed with our last name when we get married. My now fiancé really wants to keep her last name since she would be the end of her family's name if she changed it. FYI, her name only existed for a few generations, and her family is very proud of their name. Now, we talked about this a long time ago, and I think I'm okay with changing my last name to her. But when I brought this idea up to my parents, they freaked out at me, saying they would be offended and extremely upset if I changed my last name. Now, I don't know how to proceed. I certainly don't want my parents to disown me for changing my name, and I don't want my fiancé's name to die out either. What would you two do? Jake, I know you are getting married soon. Would you ever consider changing your name to your fiancé's? Thanks. Love, Stefan.
Now, this question did stick out to me because I'm talking to Jill about this right now.
Oh, you're talking about last names already?
Well, I mean, not actively, but we've been talking about it since we got engaged.
Yeah.
Like, pretty passively.
It's funny. I consider myself very feminist and, like, equal, but then it's like, I would never change my last name to hers. Like, that's insane to me. Why would I change my last name? She would either change it or nothing at all.
Yeah, it's like this strange arcane rule where the expectation is like, all right, well, when your daughter is married to me, then my last name becomes hers.
Yeah, like, everything else is very good. Progressive except for the name.
Everything sounds perfect there.
She becomes my family now, yeah. Leaving yours. But at the same time, the whole children thing, what name do they have? And does mommy have a different name than daddy? Does that have any psychological ramifications?
Yeah. I mean, to me, it basically makes sense that there would be a family name. And I also, I guess, like the idea of like, oh, there goes the Smiths.
Yeah.
There goes whatever. And, you know, checking into a hotel where they have lots of little babies and we all have, like, our family name.
Yeah, this is Jake Hurwitz and Minnie Hurwitz. And...
But then I also, like, when if Jill is like, oh, I don't want your last name, I want to keep mine. Obviously, yeah, I would never change my last name either.
Why would I want to change my name? That's who I am.
Right, yeah, so it does seem like the two options are none of us do anything or she takes mine. But that is why I think that... There's the idea of
the dual change.
A dual change, meet in the middle, find a brand new name, and Jill and I are going to be the pig fuckers.
That's uniquely amazing.
Hey, Mr. and Mrs. Pigfucker.
It's not spelled the way you think. It's P-H-U-C-K-E-R. yeah, I don't know anybody that's ever done that, though. Do you know anybody who's changed their last name together?
No, but to me, it feels like that is the most logical step.
That's because, the fair, like, way, seemingly.
It's the only fair way.
But then, like... Well,
I think it's either meet in the middle or...
The hyphen.
Or you...
The dreaded hyphen.
I can never hyphen. I would take Jill's last name before I hyphened.
Interesting.
Which is, I know, insane. But I just don't, like, it doesn't seem like it's, you don't want to, you can, your last name can be different, but I don't feel like it should be twice as long.
It's a long name. It's a long name.
What would you do?
I would say different last names because I don't want to change my name either.
Yeah.
But then what do you do with the kids? Do they take her last name or your last name? It's funny because you're like, well, I wouldn't change my name. Obviously, the kids would still have my name, so that's not an issue.
You pushed them out of your body for me to name them.
You do the work, and then they'll be called what I am. Yeah. And your last name will be different from everyone's in the family.
When you really start examining this stuff, it's all batshit crazy. But then there is, like, just the sheer convenience of everything being one called one thing.
Yeah. In Iceland, isn't it like your last name is just your... dad's name, daughter, mom's name, son, or something?
Yeah. That was like a version of it. Yeah, there were, like, last names were, yeah, Leif Erikson is Eric's son.
The hope is that your last name is cool, and then you're marrying someone with a bad last name, so they want to change it anyway.
Yeah, like if my last name was Dingleberry and I could change it to Pigfucker,
yeah,
I'd be like, that's awesome.
If I was like Spade and I was marrying like a Corky,
yeah,
they'd be like, okay, I'll be Courtney Corky. No, I'll be Courtney Spade.
Yeah,
and that's right. What happens when Courtney Cox Arquette married David Spade.
She already married David Arquette.
So how do you think Hurwitz stacks up against Jill's last name?
They're the same. They're interchangeable.
Equally fine.
Yeah.
So you can't win her on that.
No. But I mean, nor do I like want to, really.
Didn't you say once there was a fucking rock, paper, scissors match at a wedding to determine the last name?
I think it was a friend of mine that told me about that. I don't think it was somebody that wrote into the podcast that where like part of the wedding was like, up there on the altar, they rock, paper, scissored for the last name.
Holy shit.
And I believe I heard both the last names, and they were very, very similar, which is kind of interesting. It was like Thompson and Thomas or something like that.
Yeah. So it didn't really matter at the time.
This guy, I think that I don't know. It feels like her not taking your last name is 100% fine. And your parents, if you don't want to upset your parents, then you guys just... Keep your last names.
Yeah, it's like your opinion doesn't really fully matter. You're like, do I disappoint my wife or disappoint my parents? Either way, I'm fine, whatever.
Right.
Do I make one person sad or two people sad?
Well, your wife wouldn't be disappointed if you didn't take her last name.
But if both parents were dead, I feel like he would just change his name.
Oh, you could wait for that too.
And then do the change on their deathbed.
You don't have to get married. You don't have to change your name when you get married. You could revisit it further down the road when you start to have kids. It feels like it doesn't... That's like more when it starts to matter.
I'm just looking at this guy's last name, and I know we shouldn't say it just to preserve his anonymity, but it's Stinkcock.
Really?
Yeah. Stinkcock.
So if your girlfriend has even like a slightly better name, like even if it was Cock or Stink.
Violet.
Really?
Yeah.
It's kind of girly.
Yeah. Keep the cock! So you don't know what you're going to do either.
No, I don't.
We should have Jill on the pod, and then we can negotiate live on the day.
That's a good idea.
Do you have to decide before the wedding, or that's not part of it?
I think we're not. I don't know. We really should discuss it. I don't have
me and
the
you.
Thing is that I don't have a strong opinion. Like I'm definitely do whatever you want
to
do.
You'd be down to change to meet in the middle?
I'd be down to meet in the middle and pick a brand new name.
That oh, completely kind of new.
Or like a family name somewhere.
Oh, interesting.
Like basically settle on one.
But then would you change, like if people ask you what your name is, you'd be like Jake Green?
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, but nobody asked me what, yeah, I would. I would be like, I'm Jake Green.
Would you choose a name that whose domain name you can get because you sort of lost jakehurwitz.com and now it's like, oh, you want to bribe me? You want to fucking blackmail me? Joke's on you. My name is Jake Stinkcock now. And that is available.
Important to choose one that's on that I can get the Gmail of.
Yeah, what are you going to do with your email address? That's a big one too.
That is a big one. And this is the crazy thing that like when we start thinking about how hard it is, that's how women have had to deal with for a very, very long time.
Yeah, I wonder if email and Twitter and Facebook and all that makes it even less likely that somebody wants to change their last name because it's like an extra layer of annoyance.
I didn't search like Instagram and Twitter, but I searched on Gmail like what you do.
Yeah.
And
can you change it or is it just forward?
Yeah, it's just forward. It's not easy. They don't make it like, oh, this is convenient. Yeah. Here we go. No, you like have to.
What's a cool last name for Jake? Something with a J probably.
Jake Jeremy.
Johnson.
Jake Johnson. Oh, that's already
the actor,
exists.
Yeah.
I always liked the name Jake Ryan because the guy from 16 Handles.
Jake Ryan?
16 Candles, not Handles. Yeah. A different movie.
He's the manager at a yogurt place I used to go to, and he was the fucking man. Hey, Jake Ryan. It's like Matt Ryan, the quarterback.
Oh, yeah.
So you want like an all-American name for a last name.
Jake Jackson.
That's really cool. That's actually... Really?
I don't think
cool.
that fits me either. I think I have to have a vaguely Jewish name.
What about Fox?
Jake Fox is awesome. Yeah. Dude, if you're listening still, your last name could also be Fox.
Yeah.
Your parents are going to be pissed about that.
Yeah, it's like, sorry, but my last name is Fox now.
Right. But this is different because she's keeping her last name no matter what.
Yeah.
So you either have hers or your own. There is no meeting in the middle.
What if you change yours, but she doesn't change hers? So you're like, all right, let's do Fox. All right, I'm going to go today.
Jake,
yeah, I'll go there too.
Jake wanted to change his last name to Fox. It has nothing to do with his wedding.
And then you could do the Hurwitz middle name, even though you already have two middle names.
Yeah.
Fuck it.
Well, there's plenty of Hurwitzes. There's no like risk of Hurwitz
dying out.
With
but there's only one Hurwitz name. Only one Hurwitz boy. That's not you.
But that's just on my side. I've got cousins and cousins with Hurwitz names.
Oh, okay. So you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, my grandparents had like five kids or four kids or something.
Smart. All right. That's it. Thanks for playing along. Thanks for listening.
This was good.
The opening theme song was written by the Swede. What was his name? Song Sweden. Talk about the South by show.
Oh, yeah. We had a South by show. Come to our show, North Door in Austin. I believe it is March 10th.
It's headgum.com/live for tickets.
We've always sold out that show, so get your tickets soon. And we also always party. So come fucking ready.
Come party with us. And then tickets are still available for our Canadian shows, which is all the information is at ifireyoushow.com. Victor was the guy who wrote the opening theme song. And this closing one was written by, oh no, I didn't write down the name.
Of course.
Why would I? It didn't make sense on the day. All right, keep talking about something else.
Okay. So in Bohemia. Uh-huh. My character, Hard One Shorefoot.
Oh, Emily found Oxford. It. Okay. It was written by Yuval, another Israeli, just like me. So thanks, Yuval. Thanks, Victor. Thanks to, Lars for writing the unsolicited advice. Thanks to you guys for listening. Email address for everything going forward is ifireyoushow@gmail.com. Send it all there. And we'll be back next week. Ciao.
Later. New episodes going up every Monday. Bad advice hosted by Amir and Jake. Show's going up every Monday. Bad advice hosted by Amir and Jake.
If you've got something to ask
every Monday,
send it over to
bad advice hosted by Amir and Jake. Put your ass on blast every Monday.
By the way, it's
bad advice hosted by Amir and Jake. Show's going up.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.